Hello, welcome to New Genesis High Voltage. Scott, how are you doing today?
I'm doing all right. I mean, we are 1 week closer to Madness and Mayhem.
44 days,
yep.
Scott.
Counting
44
down.
44 days.
Counting down the days, you know. It seemed like we had to count forever for Endless Winter, and now we're counting down for Madness and Mayhem.
Yeah. Saturday, March 15th in Muscoota, Illinois at the Lou Civic Center. And we don't have too terrible much announced yet, but we do have the tables, ladders, and chairs match for the NGW.
And that was the that was announced at the end of Endless Winter. Sorry, my cat's trying to get up here. But yeah, that was at the announced at Endless Winter when the Heathen Army and kind of put themselves in that match and caused a disqualification, and co-CEO Phoenix made the match official. It's going to be TLC, TNT versus the Fam versus the Heathens.
Yep. And all three members of the Great Heathen Army are actually going to be legal for that match.
Yep. We found that out last week too.
Yep. Yep. That'll be something to behold. And also, just this week, we found out that we're going to be having a rematch between Mickey Midas and Dexter Roswell for the NGW Heavyweight Championship. Match ended with Dexter getting a fantastic roll-up after countering Mickey Midas. And then after that, Dexter went to go shake Mickey's hand. Mickey refused. And then, you know, Dexter pulled him right back into the ring, insisted on shaking his hand. Mickey went and acted like he was going to shake his hand. Mickey wound up laying him out.
Yep. So we know now this rivalry is far from over between Dexter and Mickey now.
No, Mickey stood over Dexter, and he just – it was a message to him that we're not over yet.
Yep. And so,
so far it's building up to be just as wonderful of a card as Endless Winter. I mean, we know that we still have a couple – match announcements to look forward to. For example, we know there's going to be another qualifying match for the NGW Women's Championship.
We just don't know who it's going to be.
No, not yet, but I mean, there are plenty of possible contenders that we could be seeing.
Exactly. I mean, but we are still a little ways away. We got time to prepare, but you know, the anticipation is driving me crazy with not knowing what's going to happen.
But it's like I said, 44 days away, as there's absolutely no reason to not go ahead and get your tickets.
Yeah, exactly.
And that is ngw.ticketleap.com. I believe that it's actually open for, yep, they are up now. I just checked. ngw.ticketleap.com. You can go ahead right now and get your tickets for Madness and Mayhem.
Yep, exactly.
And
it's perfect time. You get that little bit of tax money. Want to go do some fun with that tax money? Yeah. Why don't you come see NGW?
And we've actually, looks like we've got Marcellus Knight in the chat right now.
Oh, okay.
Saying, I hope you have EMTs ready for TNT and the Heathen Army.
Yeah, I mean, the Fam was literally inches away from the referee was coming down almost to three. And then that's when the Heathens decided to interfere in the match, cause the match to get thrown out.
But you know what? We've got somebody here with us tonight who we're actually going to be seeing at Madness Mayhem.
Yep.
We're going to be talking with Ricky Cruz tonight, the King of Chaos. And Ricky has just an absolutely insane list of accomplishments here. IWA Productions Heavyweight Champion, MMWA Heavyweight Champion, IWA Puerto Rico World Champion, SICW Champion. He's Dynamo Pro Grand Slam, Galley Wrestling Grand Slam, 19-time Tag Team Champion across various promotions, Hell's Championship in GWF, ERWA, CWF, IWRG in Mexico, and King of the Ring champion in Mexico in 2009 and 2015. Over 25 years of experience. And a little bit of fun fact about Ricky we have here. Before wrestling, he did theater musicals and competed in martial arts tournaments representing Puerto Rico.
Yep. I mean, Ricky Cruz has had a phenomenal career so far, and he's not showing no signs of slowing down whatsoever.
No, not at all. So what do you say we go ahead and bring Ricky on?
Let's bring him on.
The King of Chaos himself, Ricky Cruz. How are you doing tonight?
Hello, hello, guys. How are you tonight?
Doing all right. How are you doing?
Can't complain. Thank you for inviting me. It's an honor to be here with you guys.
Well, thank you for taking the time out of your busy day to join us on the podcast.
Oh, not a problem. I'm sorry if you hear my dogs, but they're going all over the place today. So,
oh, that's all right. And we actually have Dardar in the chat here saying, "Boo, Ricky, you suck. Go away. PYT and Playboy is better than you." Yeah, I'm pretty sure you won that last match though against
Playboy. It's okay. The fans have always the right to boo and to like whoever they want. At the end of the day, to me, it's important that they just show up and enjoy the show and keep supporting wrestling.
Yep.
And I just wanted to, because your fun fact really intrigued me about how you did theater musicals.
Yes.
And I just wanted to know what your favorite one was that you've done.
Well, we did, when I was finishing high school, I did a couple of auditions and ended up doing Aladdin and Hercules in Spanish for Disney. I did both of them. I liked more Aladdin. There was a lot more dancing, a lot more singing. It was kind of fun. It was different.
Aladdin in Spanish?
Yeah.
So that would have been in Puerto Rico, yes?
Yes.
And is that where you started your wrestling career at, was in Puerto Rico?
Yes, I started in Puerto Rico, 1999, started training in a little place, type of a dungeon type of place, in Yauco, Puerto Rico. And then after that, I met a couple of professional wrestlers who were working for WWC. His name was Sangre Taina, which means the Indian blood. It's the name of the Indians back from where I'm from. Instead, you know, that Mexicans have the Aztecas and in South America the Incas, but in Puerto Rico it was Taínos. So Sangre Taína means the blood of the Indians. And he started training me, and from there I met Savio Vega, and Savio Vega sent me to the Kayentai Dojo in Puerto Rico, which he was run by Taka Michinoku and Super Crazy at the time, and I trained with them, and then I started my professional wrestling career.
So you were actually trained up by some well-known legends.
Yeah, I've been very lucky because I got to travel a lot and go to different schools, and even if it was just to visit for a weekend or for a week or for the time that I could, I had the opportunity to train with pretty cool people. I went to Ultimo Dragon School in Mexico when he was there. I went to the CMLL school when I was there. I got to visit the Ultimo Guerrero, which is an amazing wrestler in Mexico. And then one of the icons of like the shooting of wrestling, you know, the submission holds or whatever and whatnot, which is Negro Navarro. Got the opportunity to get with him and learn from him. And then to say that you learn from Super Crazy, which I was such a fan of his work in ECW. It was an honor, and I got the opportunity. And then I visited, even when I was wrestling, I got to visit Shane the Glamour Boy, which is not known here in the States, but he was like one of the main icons. He was a Canadian wrestler who went to Puerto Rico and ended up staying over 10 years. And he was the man. He was making like main events against Jeff Jarrett and any other wrestler that they would bring to Puerto Rico, and bringing 20, 15,000 people to the arenas. So yeah, to have the opportunity to get with him in the ring, hopefully I'll get the opportunity to get him in my podcast that I'm doing. So that it's called Face to Face with Ricky Cruz, and it's run through Wrestling Attitude TV. It is in Spanish, but that one you might be interested because he only speaks English. So you might get to listen to a very interesting one with him.
Oh, we're gonna have to check that out. But you know. So you've wrestled in Puerto Rico and Mexico and the United States. Have you wrestled in any other country?
I got to visit a couple of other countries, you know, for a show or here and there, but stays are, or like, you know, tours. I did Trinidad and Tobago. I stayed there for a bit. Panama, I stayed there for a bit. Mexico, as you said, United States and Puerto Rico were the longest ones that I've stayed. I visited a couple others, but it's like one show and leaving and stuff like that.
Wow. So you're very well traveled. You're very well trained. Over 25 years of experience. And we get the absolute pleasure of seeing you wrestle New Genesis Wrestling.
And the pleasure is mine, man. It's a great atmosphere. You guys had a great locker room, great guys, very, very friendly, except PYT. Other than that, everybody else is very friendly and very cool to be around with.
Now, speaking of PYT, you had just an absolute banger of a match with Playboy Double H at Endless Winter, and it was a fans bring the weapons match, and it was a culmination really of months upon months of you and Playboy training victories back and forth.
I feel like every year that I've been here in the States has been somebody different that I've had like a big feud with. When I got here to the States in 2011, I was in a very difficult situation with Ron Powers, which he was like the name at that time. And then after that was Flash Flanagan, and then after that was Attila Khan, and then Brandon Espinoza, and then after that, man, there's so many people that Jake Durton, that we wrestled for like 2 years and all over the Midwest, not only in Missouri and Illinois, but like in Kansas and Iowa and everywhere, Chicago. So I guess this year it's me and PYT. So the cool thing is that it's not just one guy. I get to beat up on the whole group. So that's the fun part. The hard part is exactly that, that there's a group against you alone. So all I can tell you is every match has been very different. Every match has been great. I don't think we've had a bad match. I think that everybody has been more than happy with the money that they spent seeing us fight. This last one was great, especially when I won. But I'm not going to take nothing away from him. He has heart, because when I hit with the chair, it's not a fun thing. When I hit you with the baseball bat, when I hit you with all the stuff that we got to, it's not easy. And he was bloody and he was suffering, and you could see all the mark on his back, and he stepped up. So, you know, you got to give him his props.
Yeah, and you just absolutely brought to him, speaking of all the different things that you hit him with. You actually hit him with a bottle. And we can see.
I mean, he brought it to the ring.
You, and then that bottle was just gone.
He brought a bottle to the ring. I don't know why he would do that.
Did.
My dad always told me, every time you bring a weapon to a fight, remember there's that you can get hit with it too, you know, and that's what happened to him. So he brought, even his friend who jumped the guardrail and brought a candlestick to the ring, he got smacked with it too. So at the end of the day, they got what they deserved.
Yeah, and PYT was actually locked in a cage during that match, and I missed how he did, but Virgil Holmes actually was able to escape from that cage. Did you catch how he got out of there, Scott?
I think he might have climbed on Halbert's back. Poor Halbert.
From what I heard, that's what he did. He jumped on one of the other people in the cage back and jumped through the fans, through the other side of the cage to the fans, and then he ran to try to get in the ring.
Yeah, he tried to get the best of you, and it didn't work out in his favor. He got a couple kendo shots, and then he got handcuffed to the ring post. And
then he got RKO on top of the chairs.
Yep.
And we got Krista Hansen in the chat here going, my favorite is still the strap match. that strap match between you and Playboy at IWA Productions, where the fans were actually had the straps and were getting both of you. And the most interesting point of that match, I thought, was when you were outside of the ring, I think only one person actually went to smack you, and I don't think he actually put any effort into it.
Well, he went to hit me, and I just looked at him real, real nicely. And he was like, no, I'm not going to hit you. So it was fun. What can I tell you, man? Like I said, he brings the best of me, and I guess I bring the worst of him.
Yeah. That's the only thing about PYT. I mean, they are growing in numbers now. We've seen that at Centralia Slam. They got a new member, a PYT. And then last weekend at IWA Productions, they got another member of PYT. So now it's just, it is a complete numbers game with them, because when you're taking one-on-one, it's not one-on-one, it's one on now, probably six now.
Yeah. Like I said, it's me against the whole group. But remember, there's going to be a time that I'm going to be tired. I'm going to get tired of being by myself, and I'll start recruiting. But I wish when that time comes, we're all in a cage. Let's bring everybody into a cage and let's see who wins that one.
That'd be a sight to see right there.
Exactly.
I mean, everybody make sure that you're commenting down below if you have any questions for Ricky Cruz other than telling him that he sucks.
I'm sure the PYT called all his friends and his family and coworkers so they could be in the chat and try to demoralize me, but it takes a little bit more than a little comment to do that.
So you've been doing this.
Got a Marcellus Knight in the chat still saying that he's got your back when you need it.
There you go. Yep. There you go.
I mean, so Ricky, you've been doing
easy recruiting right there.
Oh yeah. But you've been doing this a long time, Ricky. I mean, you've been doing this over 25 years. Do you have any advice to younger talent that is getting into the business?
I would say save money and go to as many different places to learn you can. It makes a hell of a difference when you learn from different people, not only because you're going to see what works and what doesn't, but you end up creating your own style, because you grab a little bit from here, a little bit from there, a little bit from there, and it makes your own style. Everybody that goes to the same school, everybody that trains there end up being the same type of wrestler, and that doesn't get you anywhere. So if you have the opportunity, there's places that you can take. For example, in Mexico, they do camps. They do summer camps. They do one-week camps. They do stuff like that. And if you can go, they literally get you the classes, the food, and the where you're going to stay as part of the camp. I think WLW here in Missouri does the same thing. And they do a seminar, and you can end up staying in the facilities and whatever and whatnot for the seminar for a whole week or a whole weekend. I don't remember. But the more you learn from different people, the more you create and the more you see what works and what's better for you.
We got Dardar in the chat wanting to know, hey, Ricky, what's your favorite part about wrestling?
Honestly, I think it's hanging out with before the shows with the fans. I really do enjoy getting to talk to people, see what they like, taking pictures. It's fun. It's really fun.
I mean, since you joined NGW, what did you like about NGW? I mean, what do you like about NGW, and like, where do you see like your future in NGW?
Well, like I said, I love the atmosphere. I love the fans. I love the group, the talent. Everybody's been nothing but nice. So I love that about the company. I love the venue that we wrestled in Miskuta. I love it. I love that place. And the fans are great.
Oh, yes.
Lou Civic Center is just a fantastic partner with us.
Definitely. And like I said, I haven't had a bat match yet there. All of my matches have been with Playboy, so I can't tell you much about the different other guys. But like I said, eventually it's going to get to the point that, okay, now everybody in NGW knows me. Now I'm going to go do what I always do, which is go for the top dog, go to the top, and I won that belt.
So you bring up what you want to do in the future here, and you just mentioned going for the top belt. Right now, our current NGW heavyweight champion is Dexter Roswell. Outside of going for the title, is there anybody in NGW that you have your sights on as that would be a fantastic opponent?
There's a lot of new talent that I haven't been able to face anywhere. One of them just joined PYT, so I'm sure I'm going to get to fight him soon, which is Tobias.
Yeah.
I'm looking forward to whooping him. Who else? Honestly, these tag team, I would love to have the opportunity to bring my tag team partner that wrestles with me in Florida and in Puerto Rico and bring him in and wrestle these two kids that hold the belts right now. I think it will be an amazing match, a great match. Even if it's us defending our titles, if they don't dare to defend theirs. But those will be amazing matches. I think they're very talented. And I always like, yes, I am the veteran, but I'm always looking for ways to prove it to the fans and to myself, you know, how good I am and that I still got it.
But speaking of your future in New Genesis Wrestling, we actually have a little bit of... a little bit of breaking news here tonight. On, as it was announced earlier on New Genesis Wrestling Facebook page, we will actually be announcing a match here tonight. And the match that we're actually announcing is your match for the upcoming show, Madness and Mayhem. And your opponent is actually going to be Pretty Boy Floyd. For the first time, for the last time, the Freak versus the King of Chaos in Pretty Boy Floyd's final match in New Genesis Wrestling.
That's amazing. I'm more than happy, more than honored. I never had the opportunity to fight with Floyd, but I respect him a lot. I respect his career. He's done it for a long, long time. So I am glad that he chose me for his final match. He knows, because of the respect that we have for the business, I'm not going to take it easy on him, and I'm sure he's not going to do it on me. I'm sure he's going to want to win his last match, and I'm going to make sure that he doesn't get to say that. So we'll see what happens.
I expect that to be... Both of you are absolutely wonderful competitors. Both of you have a tremendous amount of respect for one another. So I expect that match to be competitive and hard-hitting, and yet at the same time extremely respectful. And even though it's Floyd's last match, I can imagine that you're probably going into this thinking you're going to teach him a thing or two, though, even within
No, nothing like that. I'm more thinking and hoping that he likes the match so much that he doesn't want to retire. So let's see what happens. It's going to be, I'll tell you what, it's going to be a great one. It's going to be a really good match. And I can't wait, man. I love challenges. I love matches like this.
See, to me, it's a double-edged sword because, you know, Floyd's been with NGW since the beginning of NGW. So it's hard to see somebody go, this is going to be my last match here. But it's wonderful that somebody has the opportunity of going, this is going to be my last match here.
Mm-hmm.
You know, when somebody can end their career on essentially
their own terms. Yep. I agree. That always makes it even, I mean, way better when you get to choose your opponent, when you get to have the match that you want, and when you get to retire on your own terms. And that's what he's doing. And like I said, he knows that I won't take it easy on him, and that it's going to be a challenge. But I'm sure he wants to prove it to himself that even though he chose to retire, that he can still do it.
It's going to be absolutely phenomenal, I would say.
Yeah, I mean, it's crazy all the time that you've been in this business and Floyd's been in this business that you guys have never crossed each other's paths. And this will be the first time, right?
This will be the first time, yes. Not even in tag teams, us against other people, nothing. So this will be the first time that me and Pretty Boy will be in the same ring, one in front of the other.
And like you said, he chose you to be his final opponent in New Genesis Wrestling. I'm sure that makes you feel honored.
Yeah, of course. Like I said, I respect him a lot. He knows. I've told him a bunch of times. So I'm more than honored that he wants to do this with me. It's going to be a good one. I'm telling you, you don't want to miss it.
Oh, I'm not going to miss it. I'm going to be right there ringside for it. And Scott, you want to be the official for that match?
Oh, I hope I am. I hope I am the official for this match. Because, I mean, I know you guys have, even Floyd with retiring, he's still got a lot to, he's still going to prove it in this match why he is, you know, one of the greats. And you're going to prove why you're one of the greats. I mean, especially the experience alone in that match. I mean, you guys are going to give it 100% the entire match.
That's the plan.
Oh, and Dardar in chat here going, no, Scott doesn't know how to count.
I know how to count. She don't know how to count. That's the problem. She forgets how to count, so she thinks I'm doing it wrong when she's the one that don't know how to count.
We got Alex Steele in the chat going, you better keep your eyes open.
Hey, I didn't officiate that last time, and I didn't cause that. That was Mr. Halbert.
Yeah, that does bring up a good point, though, because, you know, Pretty Boy Floyd does like to come out to the ring with the Freak Parade.
Yep. We've seen it a couple times in NGW.
I really hope to see the Freak Parade at the beginning of that match. But the downside is, I'm not sure if you've seen it before, Ricky, but he has a Freak Parade, which is a group of freaks who are all wearing masks, and everybody gets up on the ring apron, so you don't know which one is Pretty Boy Floyd until he decides it's time for the match to start.
Okay. I mean, I hope we get the whole experience, man. I'm sure the fans love it, and that's what we want, that the fans get that final experience with him and that everybody enjoys it. So I hope that we get the parade. I hope we get it all.
Yeah.
Oh, we got Phoenix Quinn in the chat going, the Freak Parade will be in full effect.
I mean, with Floyd, this being Floyd's last match in NGW, he's not going to hold nothing back.
No. Like Ricky said, I'm entirely in agreement with Ricky. I think he's going to be trying to go out with a win.
Yep.
I wouldn't expect anything less. He's not the type to lay down.
Agreed. And I hope he comes with that mentality, because I don't want any excuses at the end.
Oh, but yeah, beyond Floyd though, I mean, that's it, your career so far in NGW, I said, you've pretty much been focusing on Playboy and PYT. Your next opponent is going to be Pretty Boy Floyd. After that, I really do hope to see you in the heavyweight title picture.
I hope so too. Like I said, once I get rid of this clown, PYT, I'm going to focus on what I do, and it's, you know, go for the belt and try to be the best that I can and try to be the best in the area. And I've done that in every company that I've gone. But PYT is a whole group that it's showing up at everywhere that I am. They're showing up in MMWA, they're showing up in IWA, they're showing up in NGW, they're showing up everywhere, and I get it. You know, they're talented. They have a good group, especially now with the addition of the Diamond and this other kid that just came in last week. They're really good talent. They're young. They're hungry. They wanna get their name out there. So they're doing the right thing, but they did it with the wrong person.
And we got Phoenix in the chat here asking, who is your tag team partner you mentioned?
My tag team partner is his name is Abad. He's a Puerto Rican wrestler. He's wrestled with me since day one. He has all 25 years of experience also. He also does movies and works as stunt double. He's a big guy. He's bigger than me. And we've wrestled in tag teams in Chicago and here in Missouri a couple of times. And we're trying to get back in this area because we wrestle in Florida all the time. Actually, next week we'll be there February 8th. We're in Kissimmee, Florida, defending the UCP Tag Team Championships. And after that, we're going to Puerto Rico the week after. But I would love to have the opportunity to bring them over here and show the crowd something different, because when me and him get together, it's, if you think I alone create chaos, you should see what happens when me and him are together.
I remember a couple years ago, he came to IWA Productions with you.
Yeah. Big guy, right?
Yep.
Yeah. It's going
to
be
somebody. It'd be great to see a new Genesis.
Yeah, definitely.
I would love if it happens. Trust me, I'm sure that he will come one time, and then they're going to want him every show.
We also have Phoenix asking, will the Prince of Chaos be with you?
The Prince of Chaos is always with me. It's just that sometimes he comes out to the ring, and sometimes for security reasons, I don't let him. But he's always with me. I made it my mission that he is always with me at the shows. So he learns what his dad is doing and why I do it. So yeah, he will be there.
Those to me have actually been some great moments when you see the King and the Prince of Chaos coming out together.
It's always fun. And then now I see that PYT is doing the same thing with his son, which kudos to them, man. Like we have to create that new generation, and we have to make them love what we do. And there's no better way for them to fall in love with what we do than to show them the appreciation from the fans and for them to get to live it from such a young age. So I think, in my opinion, those two and Maxwell's kid too are going to be the future of wrestling in the Midwest. I truly believe it.
Yeah, Phoenix says the next generation will be awesome. And, you know, I have to ask, is the next generation, are they going to put this feud aside, or do you think this is going to carry on to the next generation?
Who knows? Who knows if it's going to be generational? As long as they can compete and as long as the fans will want it, you know, it'll keep going. You know how it is in wrestling. If the fans want to see it, it's going to happen.
Yep.
And, you know, multi-generational talent, you know, feuds do seem to tend to carry over.
Yeah, it's funny, the multi-generational comment, because when I go to Florida, when I go back to Puerto Rico, some of the new guys that are wrestling, you know, go like, oh, man, I remember waking up in the morning and seeing you wrestle. Like, I've seen you since I was a kid. And I go like, wait, what? Because you don't think about it. But, you know, with you being in wrestling for 25 years, there's people that come in wrestling, you know, 18, 19 years old. So, yeah, I guess they've seen me since they were born. But it's fun. It's always fun. And it gives me the opportunity to prove it to myself that I can still do it when I get in the ring with a young buck, like they say, and school them.
Yeah, Kevin McKeeby asking, who's your inspiration to wrestle?
In Puerto Rico, it was Savio Vega. When I was a kid, his name was TNT. He wrestled in Puerto Rico and in Japan. And then WWE hired him as Savio Vega, which is the one that most people know now. Here in the States, I was a major fan of Ricky Steamboat, Macho Man, and Eddie Guerrero. I was never a big fan of the big guys, you know, like Hogan or Ultimate Warrior, stuff like that. Yes, I did enjoy their matches, but like I was always looking for the technical, more aerial, and, you know, people that move more.
So we've been seeing you in the ring for almost a year now in NGW, and, you know, I would say that you have I guess I'd categorize it as more of a hard-hitting technical style.
Okay. It depends of who I wrestled, because a lot of people see me as a brawler in some places because we get into fights. And some people, like last month, I had a really good match with a kid in MMWA and the shooter, Morgan.
Jerry Morgan.
And I did a couple of technical moves, a couple of submission holds that people haven't seen, I guess, here in the States. And everybody was like, oh, my God. And the reaction that they got when they saw the moves was very impressive. I was like, I started thinking I might need to start doing this a little bit more. But there's places that people don't want to see submission holds. They just want to see a fight. They want to see two people get at it. And so it depends on who I wrestle, what happens. That's why I said you go to different schools, you learn different styles. That way you're versed in all the different styles. Like I can do Mexican style. I can do submission holds. I could do brawling, like whatever is needed to be done to get it done, I'll be doing. So I guess with BYT, I've gotten a little bit more technical because I'm sure he can't. So I gotta hit him where it hurts, right?
Dar, I wanted to know who your number one favorite fan is.
My son. I don't think nobody can argue with that.
there's no argument there.
Yep.
But, you know, one of my favorite things about your matches is actually, let me pull up an example here, like this. Just your facial expressions and your attitude throughout the matches. The entire time you are just connecting with the crowd your entire match, and you can tell what's going on in your head based off of your facial expressions, your movements, and your attitude. You have just a wonderful amount of charisma and connection with the crowd.
Crowds feed me in more ways than one. Like the energy they put out in the matches is what gets me going and what gets me those expressions. I'll give you an example. You would never see those expressions. I used to wrestle when COVID happened. Gali Wrestling will still do shows without fans and record them to have content for their pages. And it was way harder to wrestle because you don't feed from the crowd. You don't get that energy. You don't get that adrenaline that the fans create. So it was a complete different output. So all I can tell you for those expressions and everything that happens and how I move and how I look to everybody is just that, looking for that energy to give that boost.
And I also absolutely love the fact that you really embody the King of Chaos, in that so many times you pull out a move just completely out of nowhere that I was like, wait, what? How did you come up with that at this second?
Yeah, like I said, it's just stuff that, you know, my trainer used to say, learn so much that you will forget more than you actually know now. He was always teaching you something new. Super Crazy was about teaching you as much as he could. Like we would be there at 4 p.m. and still at 10:30 at night, we would still be training every day. And I appreciate that from him, because that mentality carry on. And even when I had my school or when I helped with Dynamo that I did in the past. Right now, I'm not teaching much because I don't have the time, but I enjoy teaching a lot and trying to pass on what I learned. But, you know, the more you learn, the more you can, I don't know where, come up with. People think it's new stuff, and it's not. It's just haven't been used because you have so much that you only have 15, 20 minutes for a match. So, you know.
So I'm certain you probably got an entire catalog in your head of things that either people.
And by letter and an alphabet. No, I'm kidding. I'm kidding.
You know, old, what we call them, Rolodexes back in the day.
Yeah. Yeah, but that's always good, and I'm gonna try to keep, you know, I've been working a lot on my health and on my physique, and now I'm starting to work on my gear and to make it different. And I always try to, you know, the evolve with the times, because it's getting different now in wrestling. And I'm going to start changing some moves, and maybe I'll change my finisher and see.
We've got a really good question here in the chat from AJ Wallace. Ricky Cruz, what favorite long-time Hall of Famer and your favorite moment in professional wrestling?
Hall of Famer that I think is one of the greats. You know who I think is very underrated, and I think is one of the best ones in the world, or was one of the best ones in the world? Curt Hennig. I think Curt Hennig was one of the best talents in wrestling in the world by none in the history of wrestling. And I don't think he got the... Don't get me wrong, he got really good position, but for the how good he was, I don't think he got everything he deserved. So I would say him. He's a Hall of Famer, I think. So, yeah. And what was the other part of the question?
Your favorite moment in professional wrestling.
Oh, my God. I think when Eddie Guerrero won the world title, or when Shawn Michaels won the Iron Man match. I think one of those two.
Oh. Have you ever competed in an Iron Man match?
Yeah. No, I did a 60-minute.
Wow.
Actually, when to be honest, the longest match that I've ever had was the King of the Ring in Mexico the first time. The match lasted 2 hours and 10 minutes.
Wow.
But it's different. It's like a different type of match. It's like, imagine a gauntlet. It's like a Royal Rumble with the gauntlet rules. So you have to either pin him or submit, but people keep coming every 3 minutes. So every 3 minutes someone else will come and you have to beat everybody, and the last one that you beat, then you win. So the first time I won, the belt of the King of the Ring was given to me by Juventud Guerrera, which it was pretty cool because him and his dad was there. Fuerza Guerrera and Juvi. And then the second time, I got to beat Pirata Morgan, which is like a legend in Mexico, of the last one, and Alberto de Rio's brother.
That sounds like just a fantastic type of match to watch too.
Yeah, it's actually, I think the 2009 is still on YouTube. Most of their content from IWRG, since they have their own arena now, they have their own channel, they have everything. Most of their content, it's private now. But I think in YouTube, if you look King of the Ring 2009 IWRG, you see the whole match in the end when Hubi gives me the belt and whatnot.
How would you compare wrestling in Puerto Rico to here in the States?
People get offended when they ask me that question. Puerto Rico is a fight. Puerto Rico is very, very... here, a lot of the people look for the entertainment part of wrestling. And in Puerto Rico, it's about the let's see who's best. And it's a lot bloodier. It's a lot more physical, a lot more brutal. You see a lot more of barbed wire matches and hardcore matches and no holds barred matches and stuff like that here you only see once in a while. That strap match that you guys loved here, over there, man, it would have been way different. And I was thankful in a way that it wasn't like back home, because I was thinking it was going to be like back home, and the fact that the fans, man, they have green light to hit you. So they just beat you up with dope bells like no other. The fun part about this match is the people that beat PYT the most was actually some of his family members over there that don't like him.
Oh. So change the dynamic a little bit when you have like PYT is he had his family members there at the time and you have your family members at a lot of the shows too. Does that change the dynamic of a match for you at all?
Well, no, I don't think it does. I actually, it because we everywhere we fight, we bring the best that we can to each other. We want to outbest each other. And when your family's there, that's what you want to do. You want to give them the best of you. So I don't think it changes one thing. On the contrary, when they're not there, I guess we take it down a notch. But that never happens. Whoever knows me knows that I'm always with my wife at the shows and with my son. They always travel with me. And he's bringing now his son and his family with him. So I'm sure we always are going to bring the best of each other just because of that.
So, Ricky, we have a little segment here on the show that
here we go.
We
like, here we goes like with the surprises. Here we go.
Shock therapy. All now, right. The way this works is I'm going to ask you three questions.
Okay.
And if you get two of the three questions right, you will actually win a prize, which is a signed show poster for one of our viewers.
Okay.
And tonight you're actually going to be playing for Dardar.
Okay. See, I'm no. sure she's, I'm sure she's regrets being on my case all night now.
But you have the opportunity to win a signed poster for her.
Okay.
And you are the king of chaos. So we felt it would be best to ask you questions about chaos.
Okay.
So are you ready?
Dardar, I'm sorry. Up front.
All right, here we go. Question one. What does Sonic the Hedgehog transform into when he collects all seven Chaos Emeralds? A, Hypersonic. B, Supersonic. C, Dark Sonic. Or D, Sonic Boom?
Hypersonic?
Hypersonic final answer?
Yeah.
Oh, unfortunately, it was Supersonic. B, Supersonic. That's when he goes all golden. And
I guess I never got to that part. I used to love the Sonic games. I used to love them a lot.
Yeah, me too. But yeah, that was all the way at the end. I think they actually got put in like either Sonic 2 or 3.
Mm.
All right. So missed that one. So you're going to have to get the next two right to win that poster.
If not, I'll give her one of mine.
All right. Next question. In Marvel Comics, the term chaos magic is primarily associated with which character? A, the Scarlet Witch. B, Doctor Strange. C, Loki. Or D, Thor?
It's either A or B. I'm just going to say A again.
A?
Yeah.
All right. And it is A, the Scarlet Witch.
Okay.
All right. So one right, one wrong, all comes down to the third question. Are you ready?
All right. Yeah.
Oh, my goodness. Excuse me. Chaos theory was explained by which character in Jurassic Park? A, Dennis Nedry. B, Alan Grant. C, Ian Malcolm. Or D, John Hammond.
Man, I wish my wife was here because she's a Jurassic Park fan because I don't watch them. I think Malcolm was the white beard guy on the first one, if I'm not mistaken. I'm going to say C.
C?
Yeah.
C, Ian Malcolm.
Yeah, there you go. You got your poster.
All right. two out of three correct. You won that signed poster for Dardar.
Cool.
Congratulations.
That's awesome.
So, yeah, we always try to tailor the questions.
Actually, to give you a fun fact, you know that the name King of Chaos was given to me by the page MWR a long, long, long time ago when I did a match with Jake Durden, and it got chaotic, and there were two refs in the floor. The commissioner was knocked out. Jake Durden was handcuffed to the post of the ring. All the wrestlers that tried to come and help were knocked out. Like, it was chaotic. And he took a picture of me standing, and all the bodies were on the floor. And he said, "Ricky Cruz, the King of Chaos." And it just got stuck, and all the fans started calling me that. And there we go. That's how the name got born.
That's amazing. Yeah, I would say it fits, though. And we got Dardar in the comments saying, "Thank you, Ricky."
No problem.
So, outside of New Genesis Wrestling, where else can fans catch you in action?
Oh, here we go. Well, I'm in MMWA every second Saturday of the month. I'm in UCP in Florida, usually in Orlando or Kissimmee. I'm doing a couple of shows with NGCW also in Florida. Chicago, I wrestle for Gali Lucha, an amazing company that brings all the Latin American talent to the States. And NGW, as you know, IWA Productions, as you know. And if I forgot any other, I'm sorry. It's a lot. So, yeah, pretty much anywhere they invite me.
Yeah. You got any upcoming, like this weekend or next weekend, that you want to promote?
Yeah, this weekend I'm in Kissimmee, Florida with UCP, Valentine's Vendetta. It's called the show. And I'm going to be defending the tag team championship with my tag team, Abad. They call us the Chaos Mafia. So look him up. He is a very, very impressive wrestler. After that, the week after that, I believe it's the week after that, I'm in Chicago and back in Florida. And then I'm in NGW and back to normal, you know, like March, MMWA. NGW and IWA Productions.
You are a very busy guy.
I try to be.
So, Scott, did you have anything else for Ricky?
No, I mean, it was an honor having you on. I mean, I'm glad you took the time out to join us. I mean, I can't wait to see what's next. I mean, we know what's going to happen in March with you with Pretty Boy Floyd, but I like to see what, after you kind of get over this Playboy thing with him out of the picture now, I'd like to see where the King of Chaos ends up in NGW.
I appreciate it. Like I said, you're going to see me going after whoever has the belt. That's my main goal everywhere I go. I try to keep it as a mission that every company that I touch, I want the belt. So...
And Playboy is currently the right to fight contract holder for the NGW Heavyweight Championship. So there's a possibility you might be facing him again, but for the gold.
Well, it's going to be the same outcome that we saw last weekend.
You know, that'd be a sight to see. I would love to see you go up against Dexter Roswell.
Let me put it to you this way. If you think that the matches have been intense with nothing up for grabs, imagine what's going to happen if we wrestle for the belt.
You will really embody the moniker of King of Chaos in that, wouldn't you?
Yep.
Yeah.
Yep. You guys have seen nothing yet.
Oh, I am looking forward to your future New Genesis Wrestling. Like I said, we're going to be seeing you facing off against Pretty Boy Floyd in his final NGW match. He actually, when he had his final match in IWA Productions, he came out on top. He's going to be looking to do it again, I'm certain. But you two are probably going to knock it out of the park.
That's the plan. That's what I hope for. And trust me, if he gets to beat me, I'm going to be the one raising his hand and shaking his hand and declaring him the winner, if that happens.
And if not,
and I win, I'll still give him a hug and I still shake his hand, but it's not the same.
Oh, but thank you again for joining us tonight, Ricky.
Not a problem. Thank you guys for the invitation. I had a blast and I can't wait when we could do this again and talk about, you know, what we talked today and what the plans were from today. And then when we accomplish them, we'll do this again.
Oh, yeah, definitely. Definitely looking forward to having you back on the podcast at a later date.
All right. Well, you guys have a good night, okay?
You too. Thank you very much.
All right.
All right, bye.
Well, right. I mean, we went another week and we got another match announced. You know, we announced it here. You know, Pretty Boy Floyd versus Ricky Cruz. Yeah. That is hard to believe, the first time that these two have ever stepped in the ring together.
I know.
I mean, Playboy's had
both
a 30.
Gentlemen have had very long, successful careers.
Yeah. I mean, Playboy has had, Ricky has had 25 years. Pretty Boy Floyd's had over 30. It's crazy that these two have never stepped foot in the ring together one-on-one. So, you know, that title is fitting, the first time for the last time. And it's the last time we will see Pretty Boy Floyd in the NGW ring as a wrestler, but you know, it's going to be against the King of Chaos and they're not going to hold nothing back in this match.
No, that's going to be, like I said earlier, it's always sad to see somebody wrestle their final match.
Yes.
But at the same point in time, he's getting to choose how he's going out. He's getting to choose his opponent. He's getting to choose the time. And, well, we're sad that we won't be seeing him in ring competitor capacity anymore. I would have to say it's probably not the last time we'll see the Freak Parade, though.
No. I mean, he went out at IWA Productions. He and C.W. Graves, he went out and got the victory over C.W. Graves and ended his career there at IWA Production on his term with a victory. And he's looking to do it on March 15th with Ricky Cruz. He's looking to add one more victory under his belt before he officially retires.
Yeah, man. We're also going to be seeing a rematch between Mickey Myers and Dexter Roswell for the NGW Heavyweight Championship.
Yeah, that one, you know, we thought that was over, but then, you know, that little attack at the end. So this is far from over. Now Dexter knows what Mickey's capable of, and Mickey knows what Dexter's capable of. Now they're just going to have to go set that bar a little higher now.
Yep. Last time was the first time they'd met up against each other, and now they're familiar with each other. So the second time out, the thing about wrestling, Scott, in my opinion, is that you can see two competitors, for example, Mickey Myers and Dexter Roswell, you can see them have matches multiple times.
Yep.
But each and every single time two competitors face off, they are learning from each other.
Yep.
They're seeing, here's what you have in your bag of tricks. Here's what I have in my bag of tricks. Here's what you're trying to do to counter what I have. Here's what I'm doing to counter what you have. Every single time, the match is different. It's never the same match. Every single time, both competitors are stepping it up, using what they have learned in the past in order to just make it that much more difficult for the other person in the hopes of picking up that victory.
Exactly. We seen it with Ricky Cruz and Playboy. They went from a Puerto Rican, from a last man standing match to a Puerto Rican strap match to a fans bring weapons match. Every single time they stepped in that ring together, it was just a little bit higher on the out. I mean, they raised that bar a little higher and, you know, different situations for different matches. And I mean, we've seen it repeat itself there. So maybe we're going to see it again with Mickey Midas and Dexter.
Yeah, and seeing two competitors grow while learning against each other is always something special.
And Mickey knew he was so close to getting that heavyweight title. Now he's going to be going for it even more because now he wants that heavyweight title.
But now he knows that Dexter knows how to counter him.
Yep.
So Mickey's going to have to pull out a different bag of tricks.
Well, like he said before when he was on the podcast, that he's almost like a chameleon wrestling. He has to adapt. And now he knows what Dexter is capable of. So now he's going to have to adapt even more to overcome Dexter.
Yep. And of course, we're going to have the tables, ladders, and chairs match with the Great Heathen Army, the Fam, and TNT. And all three members of the Heathen Army are actually going to be legal for this match.
Yep. And now with the Heathen Army joining Jason Halbert, now the deck is it is stacked in their favor 100%.
It really is.
Because now they got three versus two, plus they got Halbert, so that's actually four in their back corner. Because you know Halbert, you know, he likes to change the rules to benefit his guys. So
that's exactly how the Heathen Army wound up in this match.
Exactly. So he's going to do whatever he's got to do to get gold on the Heathen Army, because he does not want the Fam to regain the NGW titles. He don't want TNT to have it. So he wants his new clients, the Heathen Army, to get those belts. And he's going to do whatever it takes to make sure they're successful in that match.
Yeah. And in a three-way match situation, TNT, you know, you have to, with it being a tables, ladders, chairs match, you have to go and climb all the way to the top and get those titles down.
Yeah. They could be not
three
even
guys on the ground. You've got three guys as part of the match. You can have two people guarding either side of that ladder.
Yeah. And TNT cannot be even a part of that. They could be knocked out on the ground and it could be down to the Fam and the Heathens, and they could lose that title without even being involved in it.
Yeah, they could have absolutely nothing. There's the chance that they could never even, once they hand the titles over to be raised up, they couldn't even set their hands on them again.
Yep. I mean, that's the number advantage with going into a triple threat tag team match.
Yeah, I mean, and that's all that we have announced for right now. Yep. But like we were saying earlier, we know there's going to be another qualifying match for the new Genesis Wrestling Women's Championship as well.
Yes,
we don't know who the competitors are in that match, but we know it's going to be fantastic.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, from what we've seen from the first qualifying match, I mean, you know, who knows who we're going to bring in for this match.
And speaking of the first qualifying match, the victor of the first qualifying match will be our guest next week.
Yep.
Next week, we will be speaking with Lexi Green on a special night. Usually we come to you on Thursdays. Next week, we will be coming to you live on Wednesday, February 5th.
Yep. I mean, it's a special time. And, you know, we're going to talk to Lexi Green and talk about, you know, she's already qualified for... She moves on in the tournament for the NGW Women's Champion. You know, we're going to talk to her next week and find out, you know, because we don't even know who's all in this tournament. That's the thing that we don't know. We don't know who's all going to be competing.
Well, that, and, you know, last week we had a little bit of an interruption from one of her, how should we put it, teammates, Preacher.
Yep.
So maybe we can get a little bit more information from her on the Gospel of Damnation situation.
Yeah, because, I mean, we still have one member of the Gospel of Damnation that we have not seen in a while, and that's Brujo.
Yep, we haven't seen Brujo in a while, but last week Preacher was implying that there was more to come, which could potentially mean more members.
Yep.
You know, just last week, the Gospel of Damnation was able to capture the IWA Tag Team Championships.
Yes, I mean, they destroyed the knee of Reinar. I mean, destroyed the knee. He had to get medical attention after that match, and I don't know what's going to happen with him. I mean, his knee was really banged up after that attack by Preacher, and I tried to stop it. Preacher kept shoving me back. They shoved me down the mat a couple of times, and when they took that chair to the steel post... And I mean, that really put his knee in bad shape. He had to be medically carried out by me and the other referee there. So, you know, they showed what they can do in certain situations. I mean, they dominated that match and walked away with the tag team titles.
Yeah, we got Dar making a good point. Don't say his name too many times or he will.
Yeah, that is true. I mean, he's almost like Beetlejuice. You can't say his name way too many times because he could randomly pop up.
Oh, but I want to thank everybody for joining us here this week. We will look forward to you next week on our special night on Wednesday when we speak with Lexi Green. And we also want to thank our sponsors, Nick's Home Decor, Bi-State Termite and Pest Control, Needful Things Boutique in Muscoota, Illinois, Laser Monkey Engraving, and the Ringside Buffet in Mount Vernon, Illinois.
Yep. And if you guys happen to forget about it on Wednesday, you can always catch it later on. But make sure you guys catch Wednesday because that's another chance for you guys to win a signed poster.
Yep. You have to be here live commenting so we know you're here so we know who to give the chance to.
Exactly.
All right. But Scott, do you have anything else before we go?
Nope. I'm just ready for next week. It'll be one more week until the next NGW show.
Yep. All right. Everybody have a wonderful evening and we will see you next Wednesday.